97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. A good Wednesday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show live down here in beautiful Eureka, Missouri this morning. I have to tell you, they have pulled out all of the stops for us to be live down here. They basically opened up the town at 5 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. This is neat. They have the street blocked off, police, firefighters. We have donuts. We have hot coffee.
We have a listener, Cheryl, who showed up this morning. Cheryl, thank you.
Hi, Cheryl.
She's the first one. And for those of you who are listening and thinking about dropping by this morning, feel free to swing by here. She's got to be at work at like 5:30, so she decided to come by early. And we do appreciate that. We got Chief Greg Brown standing out here watching us. Chief Wurgis we got all of the police down here this morning. Mike Wiegand is out here. Mike Wurgis, we've seen a lot of folks, and we appreciate them coming out. The fire department has actually come down with their ladder truck, and there's a huge American flag hanging right over our broadcast booth down here, which is fantastic. Our engineer Ryan down here helping us out this morning. Thank you, my friend. A great job. So here we are. Kim and I were up until 10:30 last night, roughly. Watching the debate like everybody else, and I don't know. I walked away from it thinking Trump took the bait a few times. Oh, she managed to get under his skin, I thought, a few times. But there was just no substance to what I was hearing from Kamala Harris. The message seemed practiced. It seemed polished in some cases. But there was no substance there. I've got a plan. What is the plan?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't walk away from it thinking to myself, well, now at least I know what her plan is. I don't know how you guys felt about that.
Yeah, I don't think there was a clear winner from last night's debate. I agree. I think he was baited in a couple situations, and unfortunately he took it. I wish he had not. But it was clearly 3-on-1. The ABC moderators were asking questions that were very leading, and then they were fact-checking Trump, which I felt was very odd, especially considering, though no one's surprised, they did not do any of that for Kamala Harris.
It felt like that. Now, we were at the debate watch party last night out at Dave and Buster's, standing room only. You know, we had like 190 people RSVP'd, and we had to move some of them into a room outside of the main room. So it was a fantastic crowd. That's what I was hearing from people, like from the oohs and the ahs and the boos were to the moderators, who would see a perfect opportunity to ask a follow-up question to her, and they would not, and it with Donald Trump they did, and then they gave her additional opportunities to respond to what was supposed to be his rebuttal to her initial comments.
And of course,
I'm like, wait a minute, the rules were 2 minutes, 1 minute rebuttal, 1 minute rebuttal, that's it, and then you move on. And they made up the rules as they went along.
I'm shocked.
Did you watch?
No, I can't stand it. It's just too much. They're either gonna I knew they would set him up, that was the whole plan. And that he was going to either take it or not. And when Kim said he took it, that was my fear. And I thought that I can't watch it.
Not at first. He looked straight ahead.
Yep.
She was staring at him the whole time.
Very expressive. She was reacting to everything.
On the camera, she was very animated. Even though her mic was supposed to be clipped, a few times it was not. Like the person who wasn't speaking, their mic was supposed to be clipped. She was able to interrupt him a couple of times. And he got some zingers in on her. Excuse me, I'm talking, he said to her.
Okay.
Once he got a few zingers like that in.
Did he do well at expressing himself as far as here's what I would like to do in a nice, calm manner?
At first.
Point out that she has nothing.
Yes, and he did that repeatedly, but then she started to jab him about January 6th the size of his crowds, and he took some of that bait.
Yep.
And he got a little distracted at times, I thought.
I agree.
But at the end of the day, I'm not sure whose mind would have been changed by any of that, other than apparently Taylor Swift, I hear this morning.
She started on that side.
Thank you.
Question. Did he talk about the border to her?
Yeah.
What was her response?
He tried to ask her a direct question about that. Ask her why they didn't fix this 3.5 years ago. And, of course, the moderators didn't follow up on that question.
Right.
Like, they should have said, okay, well, Mr. Vice President, since he brought it up, why didn't you do this 3.5? They sort of ask her a question about, you've been in charge 3.5 years. You did a fix 6 months ago that seems to have made an impact. Why didn't you do that earlier?
Well, it's not like Trump's the only one asking that. I think the general public, voters on both sides, are probably asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some key questions I felt the ABC moderators did not ask, and I'm sure that was very intentional, because it probably would not have looked the best for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, very true. Well, we're going to have a full coverage of this for you this morning. We've got Tommy Pickett from the RNC coming up just a little bit later. Also, I want to warn folks that are trying to get us on Facebook this morning. We're having a little trouble with that, with the live stream. We are on X. If you want to go to the 97.1 FM Talk page there on X, you can stream the show live there. So we are working to correct that even as we speak. A little later this morning, we're going to talk to Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft because of that ruling yesterday. You heard Kim covered in the news that keeps Amendment 3 on the ballot. Very disappointing. Not very surprising. I told you yesterday I thought they would bend to the politics of that, and the Missouri Supreme Court did not disappoint me. They did exactly what I thought they were going to do, and it's unfortunate, but it's a one more thing that we're going to have to worry about in November, no doubt about that. Right now, before we get any further along, Ethan, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He got 14 million votes, and they threw him out of office. And you know what? I'll give you a little secret. He hates her. He can't stand her.
Yeah, you know, before she became the greatest thing since sliced bread, she wasn't, if you'll remember that. And I love the fact that Trump pointed that out. It was probably one of his zingers last night.
You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that she and Biden led into our country.
Yep. Trump did a good job, I thought, on the border case for sure last night. The moderators didn't help him any with it, I didn't think. They're fact-checking him on things and not her. But that was a great point that he made on Aurora. And I didn't think she answered it very well.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
The look on her face. She was hoping he would bring up the cat story. Like, what does he have against cats? He said dogs this time, too. And the fact checkers, immediately the debate moderators became fact checkers at that moment in their careers.
Oh, great.
I will not ban fracking. I have not banned fracking as Vice President of the United States.
Yeah, well, there you go. How about, I know.
Because you don't have the power to do it?
So that, you know, that was a good example of the question to her. I actually thought probably the female moderator last night, who I can't remember.
Lindsay Davis,
something.
I think.
Yeah. I thought she probably asked more pointed questions than Muir did. But she did ask the vice president, you took over 3.5 years ago. You didn't change this till 6 months ago. Why didn't you do more? I mean, you had the opportunity to do more. She immediately pivoted to, we had a bill and he killed it.
He called Congress members and told them to kill it.
Because he's got so much power that he was able to kill that.
Uh-huh.
And there was no answer. But on the fracking issue, there's just too much there's just too much evidence of her position on that. I will ban fracking the minute I get elected. She said it a dozen times leading up to 2020. When they ask her why her positions have changed since then, she said her values have not changed.
What?
Her positions have changed, but her values have not changed.
Oh, that makes sense.
Help me understand that.
I don't know how you explain that. And I thought the moderator, that was one of the examples of where the moderator should have followed up with a pointed question. How can your values have not changed, but your position on that issue has changed? If you think fracking poses a threat to the climate, you should still be vowing to ban it when you take office. But you won't say that because you need the votes of the people in Pennsylvania who are listening to
it. It was just like the abortion topic. Of course, that was going to come up last night. And Trump at one point turned to Kamala, one of the few times he really actually turned and addressed her. And he said, ask her if she would support a woman having an abortion at 8 or 9 months, basically full term. Ask her. He kept saying that to the moderators. To my recollection, that was not asked.
They
should have absolutely turned right to Kamala Harris and said, Mrs. Vice President, you know, do you support that? Because she would have, well, hopefully been forced to actually address it, because we all know that she's okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the Fox anchors and other commentators last night were pointing out Chris Steigerwalt, of all people, who has traditionally been no huge fan of Trump. He was on the Chris Cuomo show last night, and he even pointed out that the moderators seemed to be very much in the tank.
You think?
Yeah. We know it was ABC going into it. That wasn't a huge surprise. I held out some hope that they might pretend at some point.
No.
And that did not happen. All right. The question is, I guess, will there be another debate? And we might have sort of an answer to that, and we're going to continue talking about that here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get to a quick break live from a beautiful downtown Eureka this morning, a little bit on the chilly side down here as Kim is rubbing her shoulders as we're sitting down here. But it's going to be a beautiful day. We're looking forward to it. We got the fine folks from the Focus Marine Foundation are going to be joining us a little later to tell us all the great work they do for our veterans, and we're very excited to help out with that. Hopefully going to raise some money for them today while we're down here. All right. We'll continue our live broadcast in just a minute, but first, our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Why are we playing Christmas music this morning? Because we're giving away tickets to TSO. And if you've tuned in early for our live broadcast down here in Eureka, you're one of the lucky ones. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the December 18th show. We'll give it to caller number 12. Let's make them work for it a little bit. Caller number 12 to 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797. Good luck to you. The tickets are on sale now. You'll have a chance to win a pair every day this week here on the show. So we are happy about that. Still trying to get the Facebook feed to work this morning. Ethan, can you give us an update on that situation?
We might be in a little bit of trouble because it's saying that you are not allowed to create live video anymore. So I might have to get with with our tech guys.
What did he say this time?
Mark Zuckerberg got me again.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. To get canceled.
The guys at YouTube reached out to him and said, listen, we've already canceled this guy because he keeps talking about ivermectin, you know, horse dewormer, and you can't have him on either. So I don't know. There's nothing wrong with my page that I see. Hopefully we'll get that up and working here shortly. I don't know. We'll see. It's one more challenge from big media here, I guess, to the Mark Cox Morning Show. So here's the question that I posed right before we went to the break, and that is, will there be another debate? Trump had called for three. There was supposed to be one on the 4th, I think. Is that when he did the town hall with Sean Hannity?
Sounds right.
He wanted one to last night, and then he called for a third one, and the Harris campaign, I'm pretty sure, wanted to wait and see how things went. And now that they've seen how things went, they've decided that they might, they tweeted out last night, gee, let's have another debate. Uh-huh. That sounds like a great idea, because they, for some reason, think that they won last night. And This was Donald Trump's reaction to that after the debate. So this is live reaction right after the debate.
Why won't you commit to a second debate with Kamala Harris?
She wants a second debate because she lost tonight very badly. So they immediately call for a second debate because they lost. So we'll, you know, think about that. But she immediately called for a second. Look, we're looking at polls. We're looking at polls. The worst poll that we've had was 71 that I see, 71% to like 24 or 25%.
So I don't know. I didn't see any instant polls after the debate last night. Did you?
No, and I don't know that she lost. I don't know that she won. I almost feel like they kind of, it just wasn't.
Don't say the T word. You're going to say tie, don't you?
Well, you said it, not me.
So essentially you're saying it left nobody with any advantage. It's the same thing we expected.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Here's
Cheryl, the nice lady who showed up this morning, our first listener to show up because she had to be at work at 5:30, brought that up to me. She goes, I'm worried that, you know, she did better than I thought. And I'm like, yeah, I warned my wife about that, too. I'm like,
and me.
Well, my work wife, too. I'm like, don't lower your expectations too much. She's been in politics for 30 years. Clearly something has helped get her this far. So if you lower those expectations too much, then she's going to look better than everybody's expecting, because I keep playing the word salad bites where she can't string three sentences together. She spent a week and a half being coached on exactly what to say,
right,
and little zingers about this, but there was no policy. There was no
substance, firm
content. I don't think anybody learned anything more about her plan other than $25,000 for new home buyers.
Great.
Which raises the price $25,000. I don't know. I'm still looking for the after polls that show the few that I've seen are very unscientific, and they're on Twitter, and they've shown Trump winning the debate. But I don't know when we'll see one that reflects something that would make them think they want round two. My guess is Trump takes her up on that. We should find out more about that today. All right, we're back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I am a huge, I don't want to say gamer, because that to me sounds like video games. I don't love video games, but I love playing board games.
Oh, like right there with you.
That is my idea of a fun night. Call me 90 years old, but I would rather stay in and play. Thank you, Sue. I guess we're both about 90 years old.
Yeah.
I would rather stay in and play board games than go out to some bar these days. Like, that just sounds more fun to me. Well, of course, the left has found a way to ruin that, okay? I found this clip of this mom playing the game Guess Who. We all remember Guess Who,
I don't.
Right?
What's Guess Who?
Is your person wearing glasses?
Oh, yes.
And then you flip them down
that.
And you try to eliminate them and guess who they have.
Yes.
I love that game. I grew up playing that. Well, they have found a way to make it LGBTQIA++++ friendly. Listen to this.
All right. Hey, kids. Who wants to play Guess Who?
I don't like that game. It's not inclusive.
Yeah, it only has two genders.
Not anymore!
Yay!
Introducing the all-new Guess Who, now with all 437 genders.
Is your person by gender?
Mom, you cannot determine someone's gender based on their appearance. That's disrespectful and offensive.
Is your person a demiboy?
Identifying someone solely based on their gender is reductive and offensive.
Does your person look like someone who is trying to adopt the appearance of a traditional female?
Privileging traditional gender stereotypes is patriarchal and offensive.
437 gender Guess Who. Great for the whole family.
That was the Babylon Bee. That's satire. But seriously, I bet you that's in the works right now. 437 gender Guess Who. Well, there was a video that I found also on social media about this mom talking to her young child. You don't see the kid in the video, so I don't know how old the kid was, but sounded to be, if I had to guess, maybe like 4 years old. Ethan, play that clip for us.
So this person might not feel like a girl or a boy. So their pronouns would be?
Them.
Them and? They, right? And so when we're talking about them, we could say they really like mac and cheese.
Or spaghetti.
Or spaghetti. Or we could say, I really like them. Well, what if this person didn't feel like a he? What if that person felt like a she?
Yeah.
Then we would use what pronouns?
Girl.
You would use pronouns that make you feel like a girl?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what are those pronouns? Do you remember?
She.
And?
Her.
That's right.
Sue, do you feel like a girl today, or how do you feel? I haven't even asked you, and I want to apologize. I am so sorry I have not asked you. How are you feeling today?
How does that screw up kids' grammar? These are the thoughts I have.
Thank you.
If a kid fails their English class, maybe they have a valid excuse because their parents, this mom in particular, has screwed with their child's head.
Well, I mean, what if that kid goes on to run for vice president and blames his lies about his military service on bad grammar?
That's very unhappy.
He did blame that on grammar.
You know, I didn't think it out that far, Mark.
I'm sorry.
You got a good point.
Thank you. I mean, you could screw him up for life like that.
At what point is it? I don't know if abuse is too strong of a word, but to me, that's leading to mental illness because these kids are growing up so confused. I mentioned maybe that kid was, what, 3 years old based on the language. Wouldn't you agree with that? Maybe
yeah,
three? Scatty, like still struggling to say some words.
Brainwash them early.
You're right? Brainwashing them. And I just have such a problem with that. And you just imagine how many people are actually teaching their kids that kind of stuff. Like, that probably has to go on far more than I ever want to admit.
You should also worry about how much it's going on in the classroom when you're not even aware of it.
True.
In elementary schools and maybe preschools, for all we know, depending on where you're placing your kid. I mean, I think that's a very real contributor to some of the problems we're having today. It's been going on for years.
Right, because...
Right under our nose.
How are districts able to regulate that to the degree that they should? Sure, they can check on the, I guess, what's the word I'm thinking of right now? Like, if they have, you know...
The curriculum.
If they have set curriculum, okay, they can say, I'd like to review that prior to you beginning the school year. But once they get in the classroom and it's just the teacher with all those children, who's to say that teacher then wouldn't find ways to slip in little phrases like that would lead the kids to be confused?
I think it's a real problem, and maybe the only positive thing that came out of the whole COVID pandemic was our ability to use the transparency of that to look at the curriculum, because beyond that, as a parent, you're never going to see that. And you could get on Canvas or whatever your district uses, and you could see it during COVID, and you can't now. And if you go to the school board and bring up the questions, somebody might call the FBI on you. I mean, for daring to question what these people who are smarter than you are trying to do to your children.
You're saying you can't see the curriculum anymore?
Well, I imagine you could go to the administration building and knock on the front door and say, I want to see the curriculum for the fifth grade in my kid's school. Somebody could probably produce that, but they're not
going to. They should have to. They should be forced to show
that. It's not publicly posted on any websites anymore that I know of, unless if somebody knows other than that, message us down here. I don't know that it is.
I don't think a parent should have to go digging.
They shouldn't have to.
To find their child's curriculum. I think that should be easily accessible for anybody, because that's something that I would want to know. And I think you're right. I think as terrible as the pandemic was, there was a lot of good that came out of that. And I think it was people standing up for themselves and questioning things and... Yeah, I mean, pressing for more transparency. So for that, I'm really thankful. I think it really rocked a lot of parents, and rightfully so. Not just parents, people in general, rocked a lot of people, myself included. And I think we've seen some changes, and that's not just with the COVID shot, because I think a lot of people now are questioning that. People are questioning our food and the chemicals that are in it. I've talked a lot about that. Despite the fact that I'm staring at donuts and what looks like really, really delicious food that Chickenelli's just brought us, and we can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say I'm losing focus, Sue.
Mark, stay focused.
We watched you kind of go off.
Is it the breakfast sandwich?
Oh my God. They brought us breakfast sandwiches from Chickenelli's across the street. We're live on Central down here, South Central in Eureka this morning, and hopefully you'll get a chance to swing by sometime during the broadcast and just say hello. The fire department's out here. They brought one of their ladder trucks with the big flag, and of course, we're here on 9/11, and that's important for a number of reasons. We haven't even gotten into that yet on the date of 9/11 and the attacks on the World Trade Center here in New York, but our Focus Marine Foundation is down here, focusmarines.org. We're going to be talking to them this morning about all the great stuff they do and how you can contribute, and hopefully we raise some donations for them. But it is distracting to smell that food, right?
Yeah. No, it smells fantastic. I'm glad you brought up 9/11 because it's always a somber anniversary. And, I mean, I was young. I was in sixth grade when that happened. But even at that age, I vividly remember hearing about it. I was in math class with Mrs. Hagel. And I remember she allowed us to ask questions to get a better understanding of what was going, because what age would you be, sixth grade? Would you be, what, 11 at that point?
I think more than that. Maybe
some, around that age, right?
Yeah.
And I asked some question about what was hijacking, because that just wasn't a term that really was thrown around. You didn't hear much about it. At least at my age, we weren't talking about that.
Right.
And I will never forget how embarrassed I was when I felt like she questioned me. The way she responded to me, I felt like she was kind of making fun of me. And it's sad that I still remember that feeling.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of just being embarrassed because I was trying to understand what was going on and why everyone was so upset.
Sue Thomas and I were in news class when that happened 23 years ago, weren't we?
We were.
We were on the set at Channel 4.
You were on the set?
Yeah. Working together, and we went out to do a cut-in during the CBS This Morning show, and that's when Harry Smith looked up and said, "We have some breaking news. A plane just flew into the World Trade Center."
And we were trying to figure out what that meant, right?
Yes.
Was it an accident? Was it purposeful? And, you know, they have those giant screens back then in the weather center, and we were watching it, and they had footage, and there was smoke going up, and we thought, wait, what?
And then the second one hit, and then CBS never came back to us after that.
Nope.
And that's when we knew it was intentional.
Sent out onto the street to try to find the local angle, which very quickly became the fact that hundreds of planes landed at Lambert Airport, and they had more room for them.
Right.
And they had no hotel rooms, and people were going out there and offering their extra bedrooms to people that were stranded at Lambert that day.
Yeah, because they were grounding all the flights.
Mm. Yeah, we couldn't fly traffic even.
No, they couldn't even get the helicopters
out
in here.
Yeah.
It was strange times for sure.
That's just something everyone, if you were old enough to remember it, I feel like you're going to remember where you were and how you felt. And it's just, it's sad. And I think of all the families who were impacted by that day. And every year, this has just got to be really hard.
Yeah. And the national anthem we played this morning taking on a little extra significance. And we've got Old Glory flying over our broadcast tent down here in downtown Eureka. Come down and see us. We're going to be live here all morning until the end of the show at 9 a.m. Enjoy some great food from Chicken Ellie's and all these great restaurants. And of course, vendors down here along Main Street will be opening their doors here when it becomes daylight, which it's not yet. So we're going to take a quick break live from Eureka. We'll be right back.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
She weaponized. I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy.
President
with a fake
Trump.
Russia.
On that, we should find out more about that today. All right, we're back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I am a huge, I don't want to say gamer because that to me sounds like video games. I don't love video games, but I love playing board games.
Oh,
like
right
that,
there with
that,
you.
That is my idea of a fun night. Call me 90 years old, but I would rather stay in and play. Thank you, Sue. I guess we're both about 90 years old.
Yeah.
I would rather stay in and play board games than go out to some bar these days. Like, that just sounds more fun to me. Well, of course, the left has found a way to ruin that, okay? I found this clip of this mom playing the game Guess Who. We all remember Guess Who,
I don't.
Right?
What's Guess Who?
Is your person wearing glasses?
Oh, yes.
And then you flip them
that.
Down and you try to eliminate them and guess who they have.
Yes.
I love that game. I grew up playing that. Well, they have found a way to make it LGBTQIA++++ friendly. Listen to this.
All right. Hey, kids. Who wants to play Guess Who?
I don't like that game. It's not inclusive.
Yeah, it only has two genders.
Not anymore!
Yay!
Introducing the all-new Guess Who, now with all 437 genders.
Is your person by gender?
Mom, you cannot determine someone's gender based on their appearance. That's disrespectful
and offensive.
Is your person a demi-boy?
Identifying someone solely based on their gender is reductive and offensive.
Does your person look like someone who is trying to adopt the appearance of a traditional female?
Privileging traditional gender stereotypes is patriarchal and offensive.
437 Gender Guess Who. Great for the whole family.
That was the Babylon Bee. That's satire. But I'm seriously, I bet you that that's in the works right now. 437 Gender Guess Who. Well, there was a video that I found also on social media about this mom talking to her young child. You don't see the kid in the video, so I don't know how old the kid was, but sounded to be, if I had to guess, maybe like 4 years old. Ethan, play that clip for us.
So this person might not feel like a girl or a boy. So their pronouns would be?
Them
and they, right? And so when we're talking about them, we could say they really like mac and cheese.
Or spaghetti.
Or spaghetti. Or we could say, I really like them. Well, what if this person didn't feel like a he? What if that person felt like a she?
Yeah.
Then we would use what pronouns?
Girl.
You would use pronouns that make you feel like a girl?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what are those pronouns? Do you remember?
She.
And?
Her.
That's right.
Sue, do you feel like a girl today, or how do you feel? I haven't even asked you, and I want to apologize. I am so sorry I have not asked you. How are you feeling today?
How does that screw up kids' grammar? These are the thoughts I have.
Thank you.
If a kid fails their English class, maybe they have a valid excuse because their parents, this mom in particular, has screwed with their child's head.
Well, I mean, what if that kid goes on to run for vice president and blames his lies about his military service on bad grammar?
That's very unhappy.
He did blame that on grammar.
You know,
Jim
I
Walls.
Didn't think it out that far, Mark.
I'm sorry.
A good point.
Thank you. I mean, you could screw him up for life like that.
At what point is it? I don't know if abuse is too strong of a word, but that's leading to mental illness because these kids are growing up so confused. I mentioned maybe that kid was, 3 years old based on the language. Wouldn't you agree with that? Maybe
yeah,
three?
Sounds...
Skeddy, like still struggling to say some words.
Brainwash them early.
You're brainwashing them. And that's, I just have such a problem with that. And you just imagine how many people are actually teaching their kids that kind of stuff. Like, that probably has to go on far more than I ever want to admit.
You should also worry about how much it's going on in the classroom when you're not even aware of it.
True.
In elementary schools and maybe preschools, for all we know, depending on where you're placing your kid. I mean, I think that's a very real contributor to some of the problems we're having today. It's been going on for years.
Right, because...
Right under our nose.
How are districts able to regulate that to the degree that they should? Sure, they can check on the curriculum. Like if they have, you know...
The curriculum?
The curriculum. Yeah. If they have set curriculum, okay, they can say, I'd like to review that prior to you beginning the school year. But once they get in the classroom and it's just the teacher with all those children, who's to say that teacher then wouldn't find ways to slip in little phrases like that would lead the kids to be confused?
I think it's a real problem, and maybe the only positive thing that came out of the whole COVID pandemic was our ability to use the transparency of that to look at the curriculum, because beyond that, as a parent, you're never going to see that. And you could get on Canvas or whatever your district uses, and you could see it during COVID, and you can't now. And if you go to the school board and bring up the questions, somebody might call the FBI on you. I mean, for daring to question what these people who are smarter than you are trying to do to your children.
You're saying you can't see the curriculum anymore?
Well, I imagine you could go to the administration building and knock on the front door and say, I want to see the curriculum for the fifth grade in my kid's school. Somebody could probably produce that, but they're not
going to. They should have to. They should be forced to show that.
It's not publicly posted on any websites anymore that I know of, unless if somebody knows other than that, messages down here. I don't know that it is.
I don't think a parent should have to go digging.
They shouldn't have to.
To find their child's curriculum. I think that should be easily accessible for anybody, because that's something that I would want to know. And I think you're right. I think as terrible as the pandemic was, there was a lot of good that came out of that. And I think it was people standing up for themselves and questioning things. And yeah, I mean, pressing for more transparency. So for that, I'm really thankful. I think it really rocked a lot of parents, and rightfully so. Not just parents, people in general, rocked a lot of people, myself included. And I think we've seen some changes, and that's not just with the COVID shot, because I think a lot of people now are questioning that. People are questioning our food and the chemicals that are in it. I've talked a lot about that. Despite the fact that I'm staring at donuts and what looks like really, really delicious food that Chickenelli's just brought us, and we can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say I'm losing focus, Sue.
Mark, stay focused.
We watched you kind of go off.
Is it the breakfast sandwich? Oh my God.
They brought us breakfast sandwiches from Chickenelli's across the street. We're live on Central down here, South Central in Eureka this morning, and hopefully you'll get a chance to swing by sometime during the broadcast and just say hello. The fire department's out here. They brought one of their ladder trucks with the big flag, and of course, we're here on 9/11, and that's important for a number of reasons. We haven't even gotten into that yet on the date of 9/11 and the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, but our Focus Marine Foundation is down here, focusmarines.org. We're going to be talking to them this morning about all the great stuff they do and how you can contribute, and hopefully we raise some donations for them. But it is distracting to smell that food right
now. Yeah, no, it smells fantastic. I'm glad you brought up 9/11, because it's always a somber anniversary, and I mean, I was young. I was in sixth grade when that happened, but even at that age, I vividly remember hearing about it. I was in math class with Mrs. Hagel, and I remember she allowed us to ask questions to get a better understanding of what was going, because what age would you be, sixth grade? Would you be, what, 11 at that point?
I think more than that. Maybe
something around that age, right?
Yeah.
And I asked some question about what was hijacking, because that just wasn't a term that really was thrown around. You didn't hear much about it. At least at my age, we weren't talking about that.
Right.
And I will never forget how embarrassed I was when I felt like she questioned it. The way she responded to me, I felt like she was kind of making fun of me. And it's sad that I still remember that feeling.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of just being embarrassed, because I was trying to understand what was going on and why everyone was so upset.
Sue Thomas and I were in news class when that happened 23 years ago, weren't we?
We were.
We were on the set at Channel 4.
You were on the set?
Yeah. Working together, and we went out to do a cut-in during the CBS This Morning show, and that's when Harry Smith looked up and said, "We have some breaking news. A plane just flew into the World Trade Center."
And we were trying to figure out what that meant, right?
Yes.
Was it an accident? Was it purposeful? And, you know, they have those giant screens back then in the weather center, and we were watching it, and they had footage, and there was smoke going up, and we thought, wait, what?
And then the second one hit, and then CBS never came back to us after that.
Nope.
And that's when we knew it was intentional.
Sent out onto the street to try to find the local angle, which very quickly became the fact that hundreds of planes landed at Lambert Airport, and they had more room for them.
Right.
And they had no hotel rooms, and people were going out there and offering their extra bedrooms to people that were stranded at Lambert that day.
Yeah, because they were grounding all the flights.
Mm. Yeah, we couldn't fly traffic even.
No, they couldn't even get the helicopters
out
in here.
Yeah.
It was strange times for sure.
That's just something everyone, if you were old enough to remember it, I feel like you're going to remember where you were and how you felt, and it's just, yeah, it's sad. And I think of all the families who were impacted by that day, and every year this has just got to be really hard.
Yeah, and the national anthem we played this morning taking on little extra significance, and we've got Old Glory flying over our broadcast tent down here in downtown Eureka. Come down and see us. We're going to be live here all morning until the end of the show at 9 a.m. Enjoy some great food from Chickenelli's and all these great restaurants, and of course, vendors down here along Main Street will be opening their doors here when it becomes daylight, which it's not yet. So we're going to take a quick break live from Eureka. We'll be right back.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
She weaponized. I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy
President
with a fake
Trump.
Russia investigation that went nowhere.
They did not want him to talk about that. That was David Muir. We've got a lot to get to. We have other questions to ask Kamala Harris. That's basically what he was saying there. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're live this morning, downtown, beautiful Eureka, and just couldn't ask for a better morning. It's beautiful out here. Chief Greg Brown is staring at me right now. He's been over there guarding the door at Chicken Ellie's this morning. I was watching him across the street. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks for being out here.
Oh, of course. Yeah, thank you for bringing you got to get your crew out of bed this morning to bring this truck down here.
Yeah,
we appreciate that.
They're pretty good guys, so they got
up. Thank you, guys.
You were here before we even pulled up at what time? 4:15
so? Yep,
dynamics early. I got here about 4.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. We've got the street blocked off down here on Central, and it is beautiful. It'll be a real pain for the people trying to commute this morning, Sue, but
well,
it's convenient for us.
Okay.
Well, that's really what matters, right?
Oh, it's all about us.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
That's right. When we got ready for the Kim St. Ange show, we were definitely ready.
The Kim St. Ange show featuring Mark Cox.
Featuring
Mark
Cox.
Yeah, featuring
okay.
Mark. In small print.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Chief. We appreciate that. We appreciate all that you guys do down here. Fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you guys. Appreciate you coming out and being here for Focus Marine Foundation. It's an amazing group, as you said earlier, and anything we can do to help them, we want to be part of that.
Yeah, we're going to get him up here on the show in a little while talking about that. You can go to focusmarines.org. If you can't make it out today, you can always go there, and there's even a donate button. Right, imagine that right up at the top of the page there. You can donate if you can't make it out here to help them out. But they help people who are transitioning back into a civilian life and trying to figure out what they're going to do there. So that's doesn't matter which branch they served in. Although it says Focus Marines, I think that's great.
Right. They primarily focus on Marines because the original group that put together were Vietnam era Marines.
Right.
And just an amazing group of people.
Absolutely. Tell us how you guys are doing these days. Tell us what's going on in the fire department down here.
Well, I mean, we're busy here with the fire department. Call volumes keep going up every year, have been for a number of years. So just keeping up with everything that, the demand for service. And then our guys are always out in the community doing different things with whether it's school groups or different groups. Teaching people about fire safety, worrying about EMS-type issues that they have to worry about. So our guys are busy all the time. And the community's still growing. So that's a good thing. So we got a lot of neat stuff going on.
I'm not trying to age you, but when did you join the department?
1981.
Wow.
Wasn't born yet.
So the Chief and I met, he wasn't Chief then, in about 1992. The spring of 94 when they had the flooding the following year after the big flood of 93. Mm-hmm. And he was down here getting ready to launch a boat right at the end of heading down to W here.
Right.
On 109 because that whole area filled up with water down there.
Yeah, the intersection of 109 and Highway W. Mm-hmm. And we launched boats there and went and helped out people.
It was a mess. So we've known each other for a minute.
Wow. Yeah, you guys have always been, I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, you guys have always just been great. The whole city of Eureka, everyone I've worked with when I was a reporter at KMOV, seriously, some of the best.
It's really an amazing community. A lot of great people here. Our citizens are great. The people we work with, the police and fire department work closely together. The city, we work closely with them. It's an amazing community. It really is.
It is. Chief Greg Brown, we appreciate all you do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys.
You bet. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to a break here at the top of the hour live in downtown Eureka. When we come back, though, we're going to get back to a little bit of debate coverage. I got Tommy Pigott from the RNC, one of the comms directors up there, with his take on what happened last night in Philadelphia. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Follow the show on Facebook, facebook.com/The Mark Cox Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.